Welcome to the Tiger Sports Network podcast.
Coming near side of the 10, to the 5, to the pylon. Is he in? What's the call? Touchdown, Fort Hays State.
Fires up a 3. He nailed it from the left wing.
Thanks for joining us as we get inside Fort Hays State Athletics.
Snap is low. The hold down. The kick is up. It's gotten enough distance. Will it get through? It is gone.
It's good.
It. He hit it. 56 yards. A career long for Dante Brown. And we go to overtime. Deep three-pointer. She banked it in with 3.5 to go.
And now, the Tiger Sports Network podcast.
Thanks for joining us on the Tiger Sports Network podcast. Today, we visit with Fort Hays State head men's basketball coach Mark Johnson and talk about the three high school seniors that have been announced in his upcoming 2020-21 recruiting class. The Tiger Sports Network podcast is brought to you by Diamond R Jewelry. Dustin Roats is a proud Tiger sponsor and reminds you that it's getting to be wedding season, so stop on by the Bricks in beautiful downtown Hays and take a peek at their great selection of engagement and wedding rings. Shop a local business that supports our local university, the Diamond Broker of Kansas, Diamond R Jewelry in downtown Hays, and online at diamondkansas.com. Well, I guess, what can you tell us about the three high school signees you guys announced earlier this week?
Yeah, you know, we felt like we needed to bring some four-year players in and try to improve our athleticism, length, and things like that. I had Quentin Rock out of Smoky Hill High School in Denver. You know, very quick point guard, can shoot the basketball, can make things happen. So I think, one, we needed another point guard because Nyjie was the only point guard in our program. But really think both those guys can play together. You know, I think Nyjie can really can move off the ball at times and play the two guard. So we just try to improve our ability off the bounce and quickness level. You looked at Trajan Davis down in, from Oklahoma City, just a guy that's it's a versatile player. He's got good length at 6'6", can play the 4, can play the 3. I think as he continues to evolve his game and gets more consistent with his three-point shot, he can be a really good player. I mean, right now, that's the area of the game. He's just got to continue to improve is his three-point shooting. He's got a great in-between game, pull-up game. Just very versatile player. I think he's one of those guys that can handle it, can pass it, can rebound, defend, score in different areas. And we're very excited about the things he can bring to our program. And then you look at Hagen Hilgendorf up from Hastings, Nebraska. Hagen is 6'9", but he's one of the better shooters you'll find. He can really shoot the basketball, got a quick release, and really he's not just a standstill three-point shooter like some of the big guys. You know, he's able to shoot on the move, you know, take one dribble, shoot a perimeter shot off the bounce. So he's not just a complete standstill three-point shooter at 6'9". And I think the big thing about him is his best basketball is ahead of him. You know, he's a little bit like, you know, Jared Vitstam was coming out of high school. He just needs his body to develop and catch up to the college game. And that just requires, you know, getting in the weight room, eating, and a lot of times just maturity and getting older. So I could see Hagen possibly being a redshirt candidate for us just to let his body get ready, you know, and improve and get ready for the college game. But think his upside and future is very, very bright.
No, we've kind of seen it with how Fort Hays State has recruited over the years, and obviously we see it in the opponents and who everybody plays, just how the landscape of Division II basketball has changed. Fort Hays State, obviously, and still always will, I think, probably rely on junior college transfers, but it seems like the trend in Division II is more of the four-year guys and signing them out of high school, and it seems like you guys are slowly evolving to how the Division II game and landscape has really changed over the years.
Yeah, it has. I mean, if you really look at the top teams around the country from 10, 15 years ago, they're really not there anymore, you know. And it's become really a high school level. You know, like in recruiting right now, I would say our biggest competition isn't necessarily other Division IIs. And now that the academic requirements are the same as Division I, our biggest battle is fighting Division Is. And that's a thing on in men's basketball, the stigma to get over is just a challenge. You know, we can recruit a kid for 6 months and work as hard as you can, and a Division I can come in one day and make an offer, and we're probably going to lose them. You know, that's the frustrating part now. But, yeah, we got to get better four-year players in the program, more of them. And, you know, they just, you know, anytime someone's in your program, the longer they're in, the better chance they have of being successful. And that's where we're trying to get. Now, we still aren't done recruiting. We need to add at least one, possibly two. And I would think both those guys, or if we just sign one, will be some type of transfer, whether it be a junior college transfer or a four-year transfer, just a little more seasoned player that has college experience ready to come in. But I don't think at Fort Hays we can ever go all high school, but we got to get probably to the point where the majority of the guys out on the floor are four-year players.
You kind of lead me into what I was going to ask you next with the whole COVID-19 pandemic and the campuses shut down and the extended dead period by the NCAA. How has recruiting been? I know you signed these three guys early enough, and Quentin kind of committed during this shutdown period. But for the transfer guys, it's certainly, I would think, has been a challenge and a very unique situation just going out and recruiting here in the last month and a half.
Yeah, you know, obviously Trajan and Hagen signed in the fall, and then Quentin signed basically really the day before the lockdown, the ban on recruiting took place. So we were fortunate to have those three guys already done. But, yeah, and that was the recommendation from the NABC, and I believe the Women's College Coaches Association, they're recommending to ban recruiting through July 31st. So I think that will probably pass. So there's not going to be any on-campus kids visiting or us going off-campus. So, I mean, that's twofold. One, it affects the D2s and some of the low major division ones because we're still recruiting. You know, your Dukes and KUs of the world are basically done recruiting. They don't really need that. But I think it affects also the 2021 guys. You know, I feel bad for them. There might be some opportunities not there for them because it's not getting seen. But, yeah, for us right now, it is a challenge getting these guys because I think the number one selling point that we have is obviously Groves Coliseum. You know, when you walk these kids on a visit, that's the first thing we do. I don't care if it's 2 in the afternoon or 2 in the morning. When they hit Hays, Kansas, the first thing we do is bring them into this arena and show them the arena, the video board, and it kind of gets their visit off to a great start, and they're really excited about it. Well, you know, we can do all the virtual tours online and do all that, and they're impressed with it, but it's not the same wow factor and pop as when you walk in it physically. So, I mean, that's a little bit of a challenge. And then I think the big thing we're facing right now is like I might have told you a while ago, I just noticed kids are, you know, just unsure. You can't take visits and that they're just settling to go close to home. You know, just there's more of a comfort factor there. And those are some of the obstacles we're trying to overcome here. And I think we can still have success. We just got to, you know, find the right guys.
With the recruiting situation the way it is, what are you still allowed to do and what can't you do? And how have you gone about trying to stay in touch with these guys?
Yeah, I mean, you can't do anything in person, obviously. We can't leave campus and go talk to anybody or see anybody. They can't come on campus. So, I mean, everything you do is just, you know, phone calls, text messages, do a lot of Zoom. You know, I've never done Zoom till this happened. And now I've gotten pretty decent at it. You know, I do, that's what we do, a lot of Zooms with potential recruits and their families, and just try to get a name to a face to a name and things like that. And but that's all you can do. Try to be creative and do some things maybe that other programs aren't doing. Just try to give your program an edge. But really, it's just, you know, yeah, it's all, you know, social media communicating, text messages, and all that. That's all we can do. No in-person things. A lot of, you know, I think nowadays, especially on across campus and all that, I mean, all the virtual tours and, you know, you send all the kids the links and they can see virtually your facilities and your campus and things like that.
Well, it's interesting because social media has played a prominent role in recruiting over the years and continues to increase, and maybe obviously no more so than this year. It's kind of become the means, and it's interesting how that has evolved, but now it's kind of the what you have to have a chance and stay in the game.
Oh, of course, yeah, you got to have that, and we've got to be a part of that. But you look at the, you know, at the highest level when they have, you know, so many assistant coaches and the personnel is not an object. I mean, it's so important now. I mean, a lot of those staffs at the highest level, they have an assistant coach that's basically all they're responsible for. You know, it's just the social media aspect of their program and make sure they're getting out there on the social media platforms and being as proactive as possible.
with everything shut down, how's that affected the returners? Because, I mean, obviously, Jared Vinson was going to be a senior. He was on his way, and you know, I think he'll take care of himself and be ready. But you look like a Nyge Wright who'd made another step and obviously hoping to make another one. Gilbert Peters, I think, is an example. You know, you've seen a lot of improvement from year one to year two, or in his case with a redshirt, two to three. And I'm sure the workouts you would have had during the spring semester when the season was over are vitally important in everything they do in the summer. How have you handled that, and what can you do to help those guys still improve so if we do play next season that they'll be able to take that next level in their career?
Yeah, that's definitely a concern. I think the thing that you tell yourself is everybody's having to face this, not just us. You know, but, yeah, I mean, those are important moments. You know, your season, like I always say, when you're practicing during the season, that's to make your team better. Where individual players truly get better is the off season. You know, you look at that with Jared Vitstam and have it just, you know, go down the line. It's the guys that put in that effort in the off season and come back, and all of a sudden they've advanced a lot and have a good career, much better season the next year by all that work they put in the off season. So, I mean, just staying in contact about working out, and really for them right now, it's been difficult because no matter where they're at, there's gyms aren't open and weight rooms aren't open, so they really haven't been able to do anything more so go outside and try to condition a little bit and stay in shape. Hopefully, as we go through these phases of reopening, that they can start getting into some gyms and shooting and working on their games and all that, and weight rooms and all that, because that's an important part of it. So, I mean, just staying in contact. We try to have a few Zoom meetings with our players as a group just to make sure everybody's on the same page and we're all moving in the same direction.
Well, I would think, too, the team bonding aspect of it, which is so important. Yeah. A lot of that develops in the off season, and doing all those different things obviously takes a hit. And hopefully, you know, when you do get back together, you can continue to do that. But that's an element of the game I think maybe gets overlooked, that chemistry, and a lot of that builds here during the off season.
For sure, especially, you know, in the fall, you're hoping you're able to do, because in the preseason conditioning and all that, like I said, I think that is a big team bonding. I mean, they're fighting together, getting through, you know, conditioning and all that, helping each other and the like. So, sure, you're right. I mean, that's a big part of it, too, is spending time together when it's maybe not quite as intense as it is during the season, but you're still being pushed and you're getting to know each other better.
Before we let you go, maybe we talked a little bit about an overview of the three guys, but Quentin Rock, what attracted you to him, and what do you think could make him successful at Fort Hays State?
Well, I mean, if you look, I mean, in the teams, it's really at any level, but at our level, you know, our league, the best teams have the best point guards. You know, that's just the way it is. Northwest has been great, and they've had a lot of great players, but they've had the best point guard in the country for the last, 7 years, you know what I mean? And that's pretty obviously an important position. Just felt like we need to get some quickness and playmaking ability. You know, I think our best teams over time since I've been here, a lot of times our point guard has been our leading scorer. I have no problem with that. You know, I don't, some coaches maybe just want to have a facilitator, pass first guy. I kind of like having a scoring point guard, whether it be Craig Nicholson, you know, Dominic Jones, you know, Terry Jeffries. We've had a lot of those guys. I'm probably leaving some guys out there, we just felt like he's a guy that brings quickness, and he's the type of kid a little bit like some of those guys I mentioned and you see in our league. You know, Quentin's about 5'11", maybe 6 foot on his best day. You know, if he's 6'1", 6'2", 6'3", we're not talking to him. You know, he's going at the highest level. So just really like his quickness. He can shoot the basketball. You know, I think he can do both. He can create and score.
And then Hilgendorf, sounds a little bit like, you know, we talk about Northwest, they're kind of the gold standard, but some of the players that they've had in the past, tall, maybe a traditional post player size, but can shoot the three, and excited to see his development. Sounds like he's one of those unique players that you're seeing more and more of in college basketball, big guys that can really play better on the perimeter maybe than even inside.
Yeah, he can stretch the floor and shoot the basketball. And, you know, Hagan, it'll be interesting with him. Like I said, I think his best basketball is ahead of him. You know, I think his window of success here at Fort Hays is as wide as anybody we've had. I mean, it can go a lot of different ways. I think he has potential to be a first team all conference guy and more. If things go his way, he develops his strength, develops his confidence, develops and all that, or you just don't know. You know, I think he's a guy that either. But he has, you know, when you're 6'9" and can shoot it, you can use a guy like that for sure. You know, I mean, he can get on the floor and help you. And I think it's just, you know, getting him accustomed to the college game and the physicality and just getting him a little bit bigger. And he's a kid that works at it too. I mean, it's not like he's not, you know, he's lifting and eating and all that. It's just, it's going to take time to get a little bit more weight on him.
And then Davis, I know when he committed earlier, you were really excited about him. And for folks to see, he played at Hoops for Christ, a team comprised of homeschool athletes. Maybe folks don't quite understand. It's a little different in Oklahoma for some of those homeschool teams. They get some pretty good players.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, his dad was a coach, and his dad put together, I mean, they didn't play really a homeschool schedule. You know, they played every weekend. They played a tournament. So they played all the, you know, a majority or at least half of their schedule was against 5A and 6A Oklahoma schools. And, like, I went down there and watched them play Tulsa Memorial, who was the two-time Oklahoma 5A state champion. You know, and he had 32 points, and, you know, it was only 32 minutes in a high school game. So, yeah, so even though he's homeschooled, he's played against high-level competition, not only in the AU circuit, but also his dad made sure, because they were one of the better homeschool teams around, to make sure they played at a high level of competition during the season. So, I mean, he's a versatile guy. Like I said, he can score, he rebounds, he's a really good passer. I think he can defend multiple positions. So, I mean, I think he's just, like I said, kind of a hybrid guy. I think he can play a lot of things. I think as he gets older, he can even – I think right now he can play the three. He just needs to develop a shot. And once he gets more consistent with his three-point shot, I mean, he can play anywhere from the two through the four with his skill set. So, you know, we're expecting – and I think he's a guy – you know, him and Quentin, we're expecting to come in and get quality minutes from day one. You know, and I think also two guys we haven't mentioned – that were in the program that didn't play though last year, they redshirted, Gabe Peschel from Marysville, Kansas, and Caleb Hammocky from Hutch Trinity High School. I think both those guys will be in the mix of getting playing time. So I really feel like those two guys are kind of like recruits also, even though they're in our program. Those are two guys that are going to be able to come in, and they're going to compete against others to get out on the floor.
Yeah, and kind of forget about it. We see about home games sit on the end of the bench all the time after their redshirt year. And I know you've commented in the past, hope that these guys can maybe bring a toughness factor to teams that I know you've always liked and maybe felt has kind of slipped away here in recent years.
Yeah, I just don't feel like last year we didn't guard very well. We weren't as tough as we needed to be, and I mean, great guys, but we got to have, you know, we got to be, to me, the Fort Hays program we've been for the last 15, 20 years. You know, I just didn't feel like we were there last year. You know, so I think those guys right there are tough kids, watch it every day in practice, and they're very athletic, probably more athletic than what people initially would assume. But they bring toughness, and I think we got to, you know, the thing we had to do, I feel like we have to improve our athleticism, our length, our size. I felt at times we were physically overmatched against the best teams in the league last year. But I also think we need to improve, you know, a little bit of our toughness and physicality that we've been in the past. I felt like we've always been the teams that dictate the physicality of the game, and the other team had the choice of coming up with us or just getting left behind. I felt like last year that was a little bit opposite. The other teams were hitting us, and we were having a hard time responding.
That's Fort Hays State Head Men's Basketball Coach Mark Johnson, our latest guest on the Tiger Sports Network podcast, which is brought to you again today by Diamond R Jewelry. They're located on the Bricks in beautiful downtown Hays. It is wedding season, so stop on by, get your engagement and wedding rings. They've got a lot of great styles and selections to choose from. In fact, they've got a new innovative way of both looking at and purchasing quality jewelry. Once you stop by, you're going to be a customer for life, the most cutting-edge style-driven jewelry and customer-focused jewelry company in western Kansas. You'll be glad you stopped on by Diamond R Jewelry. They're on the Bricks in beautiful downtown Hays.